Welcome to the Rise Up and Radiate podcast. I'm your host, Ivory, and your sister in Christ along this journey as a life and soul care coach. I love being a guide to help you come into the places of your heart and soul. I'm really excited where we're going today and our focus for the month of February. So we've been talking about what it means to be loved like a bride. And this is not connected to our gender as male or female, but truly in identity. Fully, faithfully, and intimately secure by the God who calls himself our maker, our redeemer, and our husband. You see, I truly believe that so much of our gender issues and identity issues can stem from not seeing ourselves as a bride, and that impacts how we feel protected or covered or loved or seen or known or valued. It causes us to miss the significance we carry, because we all know that when we accept Jesus, we become a child of God, but we become Jesus's bride. And that is so important. And it changes and shifts how we are perceived and seen, not as male or female, but simply under the covering of the identity of a covenant relationship with a God of the universe. And this is so important, because sometimes the hardest thing in the world is not believing God loves us. Like, a lot of us are like, yeah, I know I'm loved, but it's really believing that we're lovable, that he wants to know us intimately, that as we understand the way he loves us in the depths, in the reality of being naked and unashamed in a spiritual space, that is intimidating for many. As women, we can feel that as brides. As men, you can feel that, I'm told, right? And listen, doesn't that block intimacy? We could get into the conversation about the bride and Christ and how marriage is the picture. That's not the goal today, although it speaks to that. But when we struggle with shame, when we struggle with fear, when we struggle to know God through Father and Jesus as husband and Holy Spirit as what unifies us to them, what happens is it blocks intimacy. It can make us flinch or self-protect when true love gets too close. And then it can start to creep in and make us believe things like true love, that love where we can stand unashamed, fully bare before our Savior and our Master and our Lord. It can make it feel dangerous that we're undeserving or not enough, or that we lack. And let me tell you, those things that keep you from receiving love or believing you're worthy of it, especially God's, is what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to discuss how we break through them, because friends, family, beloved ones, God wants you to know that his love is coming for you, a love that is without abandon, that is limitless. So today, we're going to use one of my favorite frameworks, which is Mike Foster's Primal Question. And if I'm reading a lot, it's because, man, this is good, and I want you to get it. I want you to sense this. I want it to hit in your being. You see, I'm really familiar with this because, if I'm being honest, I'm recording this with incredible symptoms. I had an ovarian cyst rupture, and I am still dealing with pretty severe symptoms as it heals. And so I am all too familiar with the lies that the enemy wants us to believe when we're in vulnerable places, when maybe we aren't showing up like we wish we could, when maybe it feels like we aren't good enough. And I'm going to get to share with you my primal question and the one that most relates to my story and how it's gotten triggered even in the last few days, and how it's moved me, and how I've needed to pause and come back to soul care and really allow the Holy Spirit through the truth of his word to minister my heart in this dark season. There are spaces, y'all, where even as I'm doing this podcast, I'm walking through darkness, but the Lord told me, get on. Yeah, you feel weak. Yeah, you may not feel like you're coming on with all that you can give. You're feeling nauseous. It's a struggle to even talk. But people need to know that no matter the darkness, even in the midst of it, we can rise up and radiate. So let's dive in to the 7 primal questions that can become love barriers for you to experience the fullness of God's love for you. So question 1 is, am I safe? And if this is your question, your nervous system has learned to stay on alert. You may feel hypervigilant, or you're always scanning, always anticipating, always waiting for something, always waiting for another shoe to drop. So even in calm moments, part of you is bracing for disruption, disappointment, or pain. You can struggle to relax easily because somewhere along the way, safety did not last. So it keeps you on high alert. And this is how it can block love. It can make you keep others and the Lord at arm's length, not because you don't believe in Him, but because trusting His protection feels risky. If you don't fully lean in, you won't fully be hurt. The enemy will lie. Or so it feels, right? So instead of resting in His care, in His protection, or under His covering, you may try to manage your own safety. Doesn't that hit? Now, all of these 7 questions are going to have things, but one's going to hit more than any. Even as I read this, I can see in my own story, even in the last few days, how I have tried to keep myself safe by old patterns, triggers, or cycles that actually steal, kill, and destroy. But when we're triggered, we can move to try to keep ourselves safe. And this is how we're going to move from that. This is a soul care shift that I believe can help you navigate this reality. So you're going to retrain your body and your heart to experience that God is safe. So you're going to steady yourself, ground yourself by putting your feet flat on the floor. Notice the support beneath you, okay? Then you might take a slow, deep breath and say something like this. In the scramble, that's what he calls it. When we're moving from our primal question in an unhealthy way, it causes us to scramble. That's where we may find ourselves in self-sabotaging behaviors. That's where we may lean into lies that Jesus, as our husband, doesn't speak over us, but we allow to sit in our hearts. So in this space, if you are feeling completely unsafe and you are scrambling, trying to find safety and security, whisper this: I'm safe in God. He is not reckless with my heart. And you might have to say it over, I am safe. Steady yourself. I am safe in God. He is not reckless with my heart. And you're going to let that truth settle in deeper than whatever feels unsafe. Safety with Him is not temporary. It is the place your soul can finally exhale. Oh, so will you just exhale with me? Will you recognize that Jesus came so that you can feel safe even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of loss or grief or uncertainty? He makes you safe. Question 2 is, am I secure? So if this is your question, you have learned to watch for inconsistency. You may worry about being forgotten, overlooked, or left behind. So you try to plan ahead, hold things together, and make sure nothing slips through the cracks. Provision can feel uncertain. So you work hard to create stability for yourself. And this is how it can block love. You begin to treat God's grace like it might run out. A spirit of lack can come in through this open door. Poverty, I don't have enough. And so you're constantly, potentially overworking to secure what he has already promised. The enemy is such a liar, and he will make you believe that what you long for is something you have to gain, but it's already yours. You have received security, and it's been promised to you. So instead of receiving your care in these moments, you try to guarantee it in your own effort through striving and in your own power and in your own way. But this is the challenge. This is the soul care shift. Let yourself practice receiving instead of maintaining. Sit with your hands open in your lap. Take a slow, deep breath, and you can say something like this. My future is held by my faithful husband. I have everything I need. Security doesn't come from tightening your grip. It grows when you trust that you are already being held. So where does life feel insecure? That is the place that God's love wants to come in, see you, hold you, and rescue you today. The next one is question 3. Am I loved? And y'all, this is mine. This is my primal question. This is the question my heart is consistently trying to gain an answer for. And so when I look outside of Jesus, when I look outside of God the Father's love, when I stop sensing and seeking the Holy Spirit, I move into my scramble. So if this is your question, your heart has learned to scan for signs of rejection. You may read into silence. You may assume distance means disinterest. You may try to earn connection so it won't disappear. That's why you may struggle to people please or move in codependency or struggle to make choices that don't align with everyone else because you don't want to risk not being loved. You don't want to risk rejection. Love can feel fragile, like it must be kept or maintained or stewarded. And this can block love because we can interpret God's timing as his apathy or not being for us or not wanting us. If he feels quiet, we can assume maybe he's stepped away. He's forgotten. He's not seeing. He's not invested. So you work harder. You try more. You strive to secure what was never meant to be earned. And friends, this week, I have been navigating that because I have a tendency to perform and show up and want to do things with excellence in this space where my body has been laid down. I've had it just rest in the fact that I am loved outside of what I can do. And that has been challenging because I'm still learning. My soul is still learning how to not have to earn what it already has and is secure in, but it's a challenge. So if this is hitting in your spirit and you're like, man, I think this may be my primal question, this is our soul care shift. We want to allow love to be something that we receive and not achieve. So this week I've had to say, Ivory, how are you trying to achieve love? What is coming up for you that is making you try to do more, be more, work harder? That's where I have to pause and say, wait, I am fully loved. And if this is you, I want you, if you're not driving, if you're driving, I want you to just imagine God putting his hand over your heart, Jesus, your groom, putting his hand over your heart. I want you to breathe slowly in for a few counts and just say with me, love is not something I earn. Love is who I am to him. It's not something you have to fight for. It's not something you have to create or move or change to receive. Love is who you are to him. So just sit under his love. Let his love become identity and not reward. And you will see a shift. When that question is triggered, am I loved? Am I being rejected? His love wants to steady you today, just as it steadied me through this week. So our next question is question 4. Am I wanted? If this is your question, you may carry the quiet feeling of being an inconvenience. You may hesitate before speaking. You may apologize for taking up space. You may wonder if your presence really matters. Are you really wanted here? Do you really belong? Do you have a seat at this table? So you try not to be too much. You may dim your light. You may try to only be what you think the room can maintain, but this can block love because you hesitate to bring your real prayers to God or show up authentically because you may not want to bother him, or you hold back honesty, assuming he or others prefer a smaller version of you. So love is offered, but you stay just outside of it because do you really want me here? So this is the soul care shift for you. You want to let yourself approach Jesus through covenant relationship as someone who is welcomed, not tolerated. Imagine walking into the room and seeing Jesus's face light up simply because you entered. Then say, I am his delight. You are not an interruption. You are someone he longs to be near. So when something doesn't go right, or you make a mistake, or you are in a space where you don't feel like maybe you fit there, know that you belong. Know that Jesus is cheering you on. Know that you bring him the uttermost delight. So the next one is question 5, and it is this: am I successful? So if this is your question, worth has become tied to achievement. So you'll feel visible when you're doing well and invisible when you're not. So you'll measure yourself by progress and outcomes and wins. And for you, rest can sometimes feel uncomfortable because value has been linked to productivity. So if you're not doing enough, if you're not thriving, if you're struggling, if you don't feel enough, you start to feel invisible. You may start to cower. You may start to feel like I've got to do more, and productivity becomes king. And this is how it can block love. You only feel like you radiate when life is going well. So when you struggle or fail, you pull back from God instead of moving towards him. And you can assume love is tied to performance. So this is where the soul care shift is going to be implemented. If this is you, you're going to really want to practice being with God without accomplishing anything. You're going to want to sit in his presence. I would encourage you to pause all work for a few minutes and let yourself be still and say this: his love is for my soul, not my statistics. Because beloved, you are not measured by your outcomes. You are known and fully wanted and truly successful in relationship with your husband, Jesus. How beautiful is that? You are successful as you abide. You are successful as you just simply be in his presence and allow his love, his enoughness, his death to be all that you need to walk full and complete in him. So question 6 is, am I good enough? And this would probably be my second level one. But if this is our question, shame has a loud voice in your story. You may feel fundamentally flawed, too much in some places or not enough in others. You may replay mistakes and assume they define you. Even grace can feel hard to accept. You'll constantly be questioning your worth and your value. And this is how it can block love, because it can make you reject what Jesus says about you and focus instead on what you think disqualifies you. You may hear the truth that he says over you, but struggle to believe it actually applies to you. So love is offered, but shame edits it before it reaches your heart. Ugh, friend, I know the depth of the pain that this question and how the enemy manipulates it can make you feel. But this is our soul care shift if we struggle with being enough. We want to practice agreeing with God's voice instead of shame's echo. Have you noticed that shame has a tendency just to keep reverberating off the walls? God wants his voice to be louder than that echo. So I want you to look in the mirror and just tell yourself, God calls me beloved. I agree with his voice, not my shame. You see, shame makes us think that we are bad, that there is something wrong with us. It moves us into rejection and abandonment and moves us to be motivated by fear. But God's love, his perfect love, wants to cast out any fear that shame is trying to steal in your life. So let the reality that God calls you his beloved move in your agreement to that truth and not your shame. May the truth become louder than the accusation. And then finally, the seventh question is, do I have purpose? So if this is your question, you may quietly fear being insignificant. You'll look for signs in your life that says it matters, but you'll potentially assume purpose must be big in order to really carry real meaning. So small moments can feel forgettable or unimportant. You may wonder if God uses people like you. And can I just tell you, honey, son, daughter, he does. He uses people just like you. But when we struggle with this question, it can block love because we overlook the everyday ways God is present because we're waiting for something dramatic. You may search for meaning instead of noticing his nearness. So this is how we navigate into a soul care shift. We begin to recognize purpose in the ordinary. We name one small thing that we did today, maybe something simple, even unnoticed, and then say, my life matters in the small and the great. You see, purpose is not proven by scale, by weight, by what you're doing. It's revealed through presence. It's revealed through trust and reliance and dependence. It's revealed through you just saying, Lord, I trust you. And even in this small, seemingly insignificant thing, I can rest in the fact that purpose is in every day because you lead me, you guide me, you've gone before me. I am your masterpiece, ordained and created to do good works today that you've purposed before I was even here. So let's walk them out together. These primal questions can be the exact places where God's love wants to encounter you as his bride, because the place where you fear the most is the place where God wants to show you the most love. If you fear being unsafe, he wants to meet you with his fierce protection. If you fear abandonment or lack and you question if you're secure, he wants you to meet his covenant faithfulness. If you fear being unloved, he wants to encounter you with his everlasting love. If you fear being invisible or wanted, he wants to meet you with his eyes on you before you were even formed. If you fear not being enough or question if you're successful, he wants to meet you in his delight in who you are apart from what you do. And if you fear exposure or shame because you're not enough, he wants to meet you with his deep, beautiful, and limitless covering of grace. And if you fear insignificance and wonder if you have purpose, he wants to encounter you with his divine purpose that he placed in your soul. So listen, three practical steps as you've listened to kind of take you into learning to receive love is, number one, check the show notes. We have the link for you to take the primal question to just navigate. Okay, what are my tendencies? What could be the ways the enemy wants to come in to steal from me so you can experience the wholeness that Jesus has for you? Then number two, I want you to ask yourself, what do I do to protect myself from hurt? You may overgive, pull away, numb out, people please, hide emotions, over explain, demand control. But when you can name the places that come to try to steal from you, it breaks its power. And you can start to identify how the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy through your scramble. So you can take back the territory and Jesus can redeem all that land and bring it back into his power and under his authority. And then finally, just simply invite Jesus into the place where you can tend to resist love. You can simply say something like this: Jesus loves me here, in the fear, in the shame, in the distrust, in the insecurity, in the disappointment. Lord, I'm going to let you be my husband. I'm going to let you be my redeemer here. I'm going to let you be my protector, and I'm going to let you be the one that covers me. Beloved, you are not hard to love. You are not too wounded for love. You are not too complicated for love. You are the bride of Christ, the one he came for, the one he fights for, the one he chooses, the one he delights in. Your primal question doesn't disqualify you. It reveals the exact place that he wants to love you even deeper. So breathe in grace, breathe out shame, and let love fill you again. If you recognized yourself in any of these questions and you're feeling guarded or striving to prove your worth, wondering why it's so hard to rest or trust or receive love, that's exactly the kind of work we do inside the Radiate Soul Care Program and in Life and Soul Care Coaching. And if this is something that you're like, man, I am ready to walk out of this scramble and into the fullness that Jesus, my husband, died so I could live in, listen, schedule a discovery call. Check out the website. The links are in the comments. And I cannot wait to get to tend to your soul through the power of the Holy Spirit, so you can walk in freedom and wholeness, fully loved, seen, and known by your husband, your maker, your redeemer, the Lord of angel armies, the one who rescues you, and the Holy One who stands for you and calls you his own. Let's rise up and radiate no matter the darkness. Thank you for listening to this Soul Care episode. Until next time, God bless you.